Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here live around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel from Hallelujah Acres. Glad to have you in here. Part two of tonight's message is race mixing a sin. What's the Bible say? Well, you say, well, we don't care what the Bible says. Well, we should let it be a lamp to our feet and a guidepost to walk by. However, times have changed, I know. The old-fashioned things and values that we used to believe in have been changed or altered or set aside. Well, we don't do that anymore. You're old-fashioned. You shouldn't be a racist, Pastor Buddy. Well, I'm not a racist in a sense that the world judges me a racist, and the world will. I said last night, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to Yahweh. If you're a friend of Yahweh, you're an enemy to the world. You say, oh, but God so loved the world. Oh, really? Well, he tells me that if I love the world, that the love of Yahweh is not in me. You see that? That's a defining moment of reality. When you leave the Bible, I know that you say it's old-fashioned, but what could you read? What manuscript? What text written by some psychologist or professor around the world would endure with so much truth as the Bible? Predicting things before they ever happened, telling you that the end time, the things that would happen, and it did. You know, when I first heard the identity message, I knew immediately that it was true. Now, what's the identity? I found out who I was. I found out that the world didn't know who they were. Once you find out who you are, then you know who he is. And you tend more, you attend to his statements as absolutes and truth that will last forever. The word of Yahweh needs your immediate acceptance. I know the world ain't going to accept it because they say it's old-fashioned, out of focus. You know, let's get with the real deal here. God loves everybody. Well, I read the Bible, and he kills more people than he loves. You say, oh, no. We're talking about Jesus today. Well, you know, the Christian church, they accept the Jews as being God's chosen people. They accept the Muslims as being God's people. They accept the Buddhists. They ain't gonna fall out with nobody. And the old saying, if you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's exactly what is wrong in our world today. We ain't got nobody standing for anything. I mean, where's the values, the morals? Where's the judgment? Where's the word? Oh, yeah? Well, maybe he spoke it back then, but he's changed his mind since then. There are many avenues which can lead a person, particularly a white person, to the realization that the Bible was not written to all races on the earth. Now, I know that's going to be shocking. Because, again, John 3:16 is going to enter your mind. It's the most versed scripture in the Bible. John 3:16. Everybody learns it. It's the first one. God so loved the world. But again, he says if you love the world and you don't separate yourself from the world, you can't be my disciple. Now, how are you gonna love the world? When he said, if you do love the world, the love of the Father ain't in you. How are you going to compromise that? How are you going to synchronize that into your walk? It's like a man walking on a shorter leg than the other. You're going to have to hop. You're going to have to, your frame is not exactly straight. It's warped. And you're going to walk out of step, out of season with your faults and ideals, which the original, and you know, we're trying to go back to original. You know that if you try to hunt up some original heirloom seeds That's hard to find now. That they have stamped out even the original seed that Yahweh made. Man has altered them, GMO'd them, and fixed them where they grow food like they have scientifically to change the seed factor. And the same thing applies when you read the book of Matthew chapter 13. The greatest racial declaration of separation in the Bible. Matthew 13. It displays the seeds that are warring and are diverse and different, and there's different appropriations and there's different expectations from these seeds that emerged in the 13th chapter. You know, the identity message is not the easiest message to enlighten those who already have a belief system that is resistant to a combination of race and religion. It's true that the Jewish-controlled media, the government, the churches, the schools, and so on and so forth, have changed or rerouted, if you will, the fair representation or presentation of the facts. They've altered them. It's like a watered-down version of our Constitution. See, they've amended it to take the teeth out of it so we no longer, and listen, I don't know where you ever read the original Constitution, but it's a racist statement. For a people that have kept the faith, we're going to get into that in a lot of the latter part of our message tonight, and so then I'll have more to say about that as time goes on in the message. People just don't get it. Aside from an unwillingness to understand, they will not bring themselves to reason with you as they brand you, or they label you, or they put you in a box. When you're trying to get them to go back to the Bible, they're putting you into a racial covenant box of outcast and tell you that you're old-fashioned and ill-learned and you're not in the real world. Well, that's what happened that's what happened to Noah. Look what happened to him. He wasn't in the real world. He was the only person of his blood. Now, be it black, red, yellow, green, orange, white, he was the only person with his wife, his three sons, and their three wives, made eight souls, that was perfect in their genetics in this particular bloodline. Now, if Adam was an Aryan white man, we find that Noah genetically was perfect from the blood creation of the original seed of Adam displayed in the 13th chapter again of the book of Matthew, where we're going in the final message. We're going to do five parts. This is the second part. We got three more to go. And by the time I hope that we get to the end, you'll see that it's astounding that people don't get this. They have to be utterly blind, or they have to be utterly ignorant, or unlearned, or just plain stubborn and bullheaded, and are going to stay with the sign of the times. You see, our children have been re-indoctrinated. The people of 100 years ago, I'm going to read you some, even Abraham Lincoln, I want to read you his racist statement in a debate with Mr. Douglas. The fourth debate, actually. And I'm going to tell you what he said about the separation of races. You're going to be surprised what he said. He said, oh, I know what he stood for. He was against the racial slavery. He was against having slaves. He was in favor of the black race. At that time they used the word Negro or Negroid, Mongoloid. and things of this nature to describe different bloodlines. Well, the boundaries were set for all these races in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. And yet today, there's no such thing. We have been told that there's no difference in the blood. That scientists and those who look at the genetics of blood, just because that we can get the blood... Yeah. Did you know that we contain 95% of the blood genetics of an ape? I mean, we're familiar, 95%. But that 5% could be a difference between a bloodline accepted and a bloodline rejected, confirmed by, again, the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. I know this is hard. I know it's out of date. I know people ain't going to listen to it. I know that people don't want to hear it, but the truth anyway. And when the judgment is set, when you're brought before him, you're going to find out that he's not that sweet little Jesus that you've heard sung in the Christian church where I said last night, and I'll confirm it, that 95% of Christian churches are multiracial or interracial, and they don't care if you come in there with any kind of a person hanging on your arm, a different bloodline, or something of that nature that they are trying to describe to you in such a way that to make you believe it's okay. Now, where do you stand? You say, well, I'm a closet racist, but I wouldn't dare speak it out into the open of my church. They just don't believe me, but I don't go along with it. If you go to that church, you condone it. Bible said, be not partakers of evil deeds. I'd rather not go to church if I had to be a hypocrite to go. If I'm against something, I'm either going to tell you why I'm against it, prove all things. The Bible said, prove all things, which is good and acceptable and holy. Millions of people who claim to be Christian is not based upon a knowledge of Christianity and what it means, but rather that they attend a church or follow a minister. This explains the great apostate, the church world, of every stripe of self-proclaimed orthodoxy that do not bring forth the fruits of the kingdom and the principles and standing and digging in and holding on to the written word. They do not. The Christian church today does not bring forth the fruits of the kingdom. They wouldn't preach Matthew 13. I mean, I went to church all of my life. I mean, I'm 75 years old. And I've never heard or remember hearing anybody in the Christian church take the scriptures I'm going to use in this series and preach to them. I wish they had. I might have been one at an earlier... I was 48 years old before I heard the identity message. Now, what's the identity message? Identifying who you are. Identifying who he is. Now, if you know who you are and who he is, you certainly know the enemy. Well, what enemy sowed the tares among the wheat? What kind of explanation could you come up with, other than there are those who have sowed disrespectable seed into the kingdom? They come up as tares. They grow as tares. They look like wheat. Tares have a nature of looking like wheat. Well, these people that today teach multiculturalism, they seem right because they are in the majority. If you're against it, you're a racist. I have never heard of any black people being racist. They just don't. It's always the white people that's racist. We can talk again. We can talk about these matters, and we're automatically, quickly branded racist. Why? Can't we have a fair shot? Can't we discuss the scriptures? I'm not against the black people. I've got black friends. I'm not against them. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of what Paul preached at Antioch when he said, the God of this people, of Israel, chose our fathers. There you go. God, Yahweh, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, separated from the Egyptians and moved them out into a country of their own. Acts 13 and 17. This was not a choice of the individual. It was a divine decision. Our Savior, Yahweh, in a flesh body, put it even more clearly in John 15, 16. Listen to what he said there. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's discriminatory. You think he chose everybody? Well, everybody's got to change now, Pastor Buddy. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him. Oh, really? You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Are those people that don't get it so far steeped in their own ignorance as to have not been called from the very beginning? They can't get it even if they tried, because Yahweh has not selected them for his purposes. And he said, if the gospel is hid, it's hid to this seed that is not his. There is, I'm going to repeat this now, confirmed with the scriptures I'm going to use, there is seeds in the earth that Yahweh didn't choose. They will never stand before him. They're just used for the purposes of basically trying you. He said, I did this to try you, to see what you would do. There are many forces that try to lead the people of the sheep astray. That's why we call them lost sheep. And that's why I use the song when I come on. We crawled under the fence and we went sheep hopping along, unconcerned, dumb, led away with the error of the wicked. I'm going to repeat that. Led away with the dumbness of the wicked. In other words, the wicked are dumb and lost and deceived and not chosen. But Yahweh said, I chose you to be my people. And you of all people upon the earth. Now, Anglo-Saxon, what does that word mean? Celtic or Celtic? Germanic? Scandinavian? Kindred people? The only race of people which corresponds to the identification marks of Israel set forth in scriptures written thousands of years ago. And the greatest opposition to the identity message is the Talmudic Antichrist and their spawn of Judeo-Christian churches. And the second greatest adversary comes from those people who just don't want to get it because of their preconceived notions and being swayed by the enemy and deceived by them and led astray as dumb sheep led to the slaughter. There are so many forces that have not only tried but have achieved leading our people astray and neutralized their calling in life to be an example. You, of all people upon the earth, though you were the fewest, yet I chose you and only you to be redeemed. I predestined you. I chose you before the foundation of the world. Is that selective? Discriminatory? I think so. You predestinated? What about the Christian church today? Would they save Cain? Of course they would. Cain accepted Yahweh. He didn't reject Yahweh. He accepted. That's all they say you got to do. Accept Jesus. Well, Cain did that. He brought an offering to him. It wasn't Cain rejecting Yahweh. It was Yahweh rejecting Cain. Now, was Yahweh a racist? Could I fairly say that when he gave him the boot and told him that there was no repentance for him and kicked him out and said, I'll accept Abel and his testimony and his offering, but I reject you, Cain, because your father is the devil and he is a liar from the very beginning and I don't want you. You're not mine. I didn't come for you. I come for my sheep. And my sheep will hear my voice. Now, who's leading us astray to become so cursed when their heart is filled with so much rejection that they're not able to be saved from the thing that they despise, which is telling the truth? Christian, especially Israelites, I mean, when people are so plain and blunt, everybody says, well, I don't like him. I don't like her. Why? Well, why don't you like him? Well, you know, they're against everything. They speak out against the people that are here in church. What congregation do you attend that you think that is above being spoken against when they're wrong? What is so wrong with being a racist in this world to tell people or to promote it's okay for a black, the black Muslim, and they'll tell you that the white man is a devil, but they're not called racist. We can call the black man a devil, and they want to put us in jail for saying what we believe. There is no black racist, only white racist. You ever notice that? If you talk about racist people, they're all white. There's none of them black or brown. Now we got the brown creeping in. And they complain about the white people complaining about them coming over here and taking our jobs. There's laws on the book 60 years ago that would forbid even the black from approaching a white congregation. It was not legal. Now, that was the way of our fathers. Were they all racist? Didn't they get the message? Well, it was a majority that stood up and we won the war. And so then we did away with slavery and it's okay for blacks to take over this country. To even prove it, we've even got a black and a white president. And you know, that's true. I mean, had a white mother and a black father. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, ain't nothing wrong with it. I said last night that the world approves of that. I don't. The Bible says you shouldn't. And he admits he's a manser. And the Bible says not to set a manser over you. He's not even entered the congregation. And yet, if President Obama, I have nothing to say against him in this regard, according to his skin color. That ain't what I'm issuing here. But it says not to set a manser, and he admits to being a manser. Well, who changed the Bible? Can I justifiably say that the Bible says that a manser shall not rule over you? And although that 99% of the Christian world disagrees with me, does it make them right? That 99% of the people that disagree, does it make them right because they disagree with me when I read that out of the Bible? That's your dilemma. Choose this day who you'll serve. If you have the possession of understanding, count your blessings if you know this truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. For choosing during these difficult and trying times to remain steadfast and unmovable. Now, I don't want to be branded as a racist. I'm not a racist. In a sense that I hate other races. I do not hate other races. I love my race. Just like the black people, they're proud of the black race. Well, it's about time somebody stood for something because we're all falling together and changing our bloodlines. I mean, look at the black race. You want to keep the black race pure? Well, the way to do it is to avoid race mixing. And I'm telling you that there's black preachers like myself warning the black people, and seem like more black people are getting the message as opposed to the white people, because the white people want to be pleasers of men and despisers of Yahweh's word. If you are a word seeker or a word preacher, they're going to hate you. For many are called, and few are chosen. But they that are with him remain faithful, are called and faithful and obedient in the message that we have to take into account that we're Yahweh's people. Now, let me give you a primitive root of the word that we're going to give to you, the katah. It is Hebrew number 2398. There again, it says, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners. I really list them. The Hittite, the Gergesite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thy daughter shall not be given to their sons, and neither shall his daughters be taken into the congregation by your son. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3. Thou shalt separate yourselves from them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them. And you shall separate from these katahs in the land. Well, now we don't do that. There's no such people as evil. There's no Canaanites left on the earth, right? There's no Amorites, there's no Gergesites, there's no Hittites. Well, I live over here by a Hittite family, or I live over here by an Amorite family, or I got a bunch of Canaanites live right across the road. You don't hear that no more. We've all become one blood seeking God. Because it says in Acts 17, has not he made of all one blood of all nations? And when you really look at the original scripture, the word blood is not in the original text, and yet they swear it's in there. That's the way it's translated. Just like they translate Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive the Amorites. Father, forgive the Moabites. Father, forgive the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and Father, especially, would you forgive the Canaanites? Who was it that killed him? Was it not the Canaanite? Was it not the same one that Christ said in 7:44, your father, talking about those Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees that nailed him on the torture stake, he said to them point blank in the face, your father is a devil. Again, the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, Christ elaborated on this message when he said, the enemy that sowed this seed, these tares of the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Moabites, was the devil. This is children of the devil. And today we don't have no children of the devil. You ever heard anybody say, oh, I went over to the church of the children of the devil. They're all over there at the First Baptist. No, we don't say that. That would be disrespectful to say that the First Baptist Church is a congregation of Hittites or Canaanites or Perizzites or Amorites or Gergesites. But they're there. And nobody's going to throw them out because the pastor condones it and the race mixing condoning goes right with it. They will not separate from Israel the mixed multitude of Nehemiah 13:3. They won't do that. And they ain't going to allow nobody to come in and preach it either. But it happened. The Bible said these things happen as an example. It's an offense. The kata. Strong's number 2403 is an offense. Habitual sinfulness. They can't change. They're forever a bad seed. You cannot change the leopard spots. Cain couldn't change his blood because he was of the wicked one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Esau could not be accepted into the kingdom because he had one strike on him before he was ever born. Now listen to me. Yahweh said concerning Esau, but the church would save him. Esau wept. He came to the altar and wept to Yahweh. He was accepted. He would be accepted in 99% of the Christian churches today, and they would baptize him into their church, especially if he was a good taxpayer, and him being a Canaanite. Him being a mixed, he mixed with the Canaanites, he mixed with the Amorites, he mixed with the Pervites, the Prezites, the Gigersites, the Jebusites, he mixed with them. And the Bible said, Yahweh hated him before he was ever born. Now what chance, I'm going to ask you, church-going people, that would save Esau? Because he did seek Yahweh. He did repent. But he found no repentance, and he found no mercy. I hate Esau and his seed before he ever done any good or any bad. Do you think that's going to change? I wouldn't think so. It will for the church. They're going to accept it. I'm telling you, folks, the Christian church needs to examine itself, and the Christian church needs to look at the truth and quit turning a blind eye to the Word so that they can go along with the people of the world. You know who the people of the world are? Those who would accept those of the race. It's not the easiest message to get. The scales need to fall from the eyes once they are given the truth of who they are and what their responsibilities are, according to, again, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He didn't choose Esau. He didn't choose the Gigersites. He didn't choose the Amorites or the Jebusites or the Canaanites. He didn't choose them. He chose you. But you don't want him because he didn't choose the Amorites and he didn't choose the Canaanites and because they repent and come to the altar and the Christian church and the pastor said, oh yeah, come right on in here. We're multiracial. Well, we'd be glad to have you all. Come right on in. Make yourself at home. And the people will praise the preacher for putting scales over their eyes, and when a preacher like myself or a witness like myself comes in and tries to identify you and tell you who you are and to wake up and come out of her, my people, then they want the scales to stay because it's an easier road. They love to compromise. Israel would not separate them from the mixed multitude. They would not. Of Nehemiah 13:3. And you know what the prophet done? You know what Nehemiah and Ezra done? They cussed a hurricane. They cursed the children of Israel that would not have put away their strange wives, the Gigersites, the Canaanites, the Amorites. We could go on and on, and you're getting my message. I hope you are. Can't you count your blessings? Can't you see that Yahweh If he's for you, nobody can be against you. Can't you see that if Yahweh's against you, that nobody can be for you? From the very beginning, the commandment not to permit mongrelization is strongly emphasized in the Bible, and I'll give you an example of Exodus 33:16. So shall we be separated, I and all of your people, from the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses said, he come to separate us, not to join us. We are the world. We are the people. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24. I am Yahweh, which have separated you from all other people. Oh, but that was back then, Pastor Buddy. Now, Jesus loves all of us so much, and he wants us all to get along and have peace. And it's okay to go over and kill them Muslims. It's okay to go to Afghanistan and protect the poppy fields for the rich elite under the guise and kill those babies and shoot them in the head. And, Yahweh condones that because we're Christian. Then the same people from Afghanistan can come and go into a Christian, live in America, and go into a Christian church, and they'll save them. Now, you put that together. Joshua chapter 23, listen to this. Verse 12 and 13. If you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations that I have separated, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you. Know for a certainty. That's just God, Yahweh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, but he changed his mind. Oh, okay. Then there ain't no use us going to the Old Testament and reading. There ain't no use of going up there to the 25th chapter and the 31st verse of the book of Matthew. There's no use going to the 13th chapter and reading the whole chapter of Matthew, that there's good and bad seeds in the earth, and that he rejects the bad and he accepts the good. That there's going to be a separation day, and Yahweh, Jesus, as you call him, is going to be right there cutting their heads off.
Oh, but he loves everybody. We save them, and you know, if we save them, we give them a church card, Jesus is going to take them in.
Oh, really? What about the day that he said they'll separate the sheep from the goats? Are you saving a bunch of goats for the day of slaughter? Listen to this. Know for a fact that these that remain among you, and when you marry them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, know for a certainty that they shall become a snare and will trap you, scourge you in your sides, and be thorns in your eyes. How'd you like to have a multiracial covenant people sitting in there that would inflict pain of thorns? You see, it's a thorn in the eye of the righteous. But the wicked say there is no God, and there is no evil, and we're not under the law. Until you perish, these will be thorns, and they will be whips and chains until you perish from off this land which I have given you. Deuteronomy 7 and 3. Neither shalt thou make marriage with them. Your daughter shall not be given unto their sons, and their daughter shall not be given unto your sons. There is many warnings that are given in the Bible not to mate with a stranger. And yet today it's okay by the Christian church world. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to side with Yahweh and his word? If you have my word, he said, speak it faithfully. But you know what the Bible says about a lukewarm person, a fence setter, goes into these Christian churches and turns their head when they see all this. They know they don't approve of it. But if they said anything about it or stood up, it would be embarrassing. How would you like to go to church with Pastor Buddy? I embarrassed the hell out of you. You'd be so embarrassed for me getting up in the pulpit and opening the Word of God and declaring what it said. I should cover these things up. I shouldn't go into Proverbs 23, verse 27. For a whore or strange woman is a deep ditch, and a strange Zoar woman is a narrow pen. The reason for the warning is very clear here in Proverbs 23. Mongolization is the worst form of genocide. The very moment a black man puts his seed into a white woman, he destroys his original genetics. The sin against that is written in the book of Leviticus that shouldn't happen because it brings confusion to the child. Now the child with a black father, as Barry Soretto is, Obama, who acknowledges he's nothing but a mongrel. Now, he says that in respect of being accepted as a mongrel and has all these accolades from other people admiring him and looking up to him and white women just a swooning over him. He feels good about telling people, yes, I'm a mongrel and I'm proud of it. I've got a Jewish mother and a black father from Africa, from Kenya. The fact is he was born in Kenya, but his birth certificate reflects that he was born in America just so he could become American citizen, which he's not. It's proven. And yet, people elected him. They voted for him, or at least that's what we're told. He's a mongrel, a stranger. What is the word? The Norki. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Each person that is like it is a person of a different race from those who were represented in Israel. You shall put away the Norki, or the gear, or the toshit, or meaning person who is not only alien in a political sense, but alien in a race, a bloodline that is not accepted. And the warning against race mixing is always against those strangers who are Zoar, or Nukar, or Norki, for example, as I've mentioned in Proverbs 37, that she is a stranger, or Zora, or a Norki, which is a narrow pit. In other words, when you place your seed in her womb, you brought confusion, and you changed the original seed of both into a hybrid that is nothing but confusion. Now we ain't going to accept it. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, there's where I disagree with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalms 144, listen to what the prophet David said. Would you agree with him? I doubt if you would. You can love his psalms and the beauty of his writing. But listen to this one. Rid me, O Yahweh, and deliver me from the hand of a strange or a Norki children whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters may be polished cornices in the palace. In other words, pure and undefiled. But the Norki, or the strange children that grow up, whose mouth speak of vanity, and their right hand is full of falsehood, separate me from them, and dash their heads against the cobblestones of the streets of our city. Jeremiah, in chapter 2, verse 21, 22, 23, and 24, and 25. I have planted you a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then are you so soon turned into a degenerate plant of a strange Zoar vine unto me? Withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat with burning thirst. But thou saidest, well, there's no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, or the Zorki, or the Nukar, and after them I shall go. Saying to Yahweh, who said, separate yourself from the strangers. I planted you a noble vine, but something has happened. You have turned into a degenerate, mongrelized vine, and strange fruit is growing there. Separate yourself, I said. But they said, there's no hope. I have loved the strangers, and after them I will go. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I can't stress strongly enough that this message needs to be looked at. Hosea, chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Listen to what Hosea the prophet said. They shall go with their flocks and their herds to seek Yahweh. But they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them, for they have dealt treacherously against me. For they have become, or they have begotten strange children. And that word strange again is the Zur, or the Norki, or the Nikar, strangers. The Norki. They have strange children. I do not recognize them. Separate yourself. Noah was saved because he was pure-blooded. He hadn't mixed with anything. While those around him were mongrelized. And for that, the records for the forbidding of races, they were saved while the mongrels were wiped out and destroyed. Now, I want to ask you a question. How have we strayed so far from the land? Mongrelization is the sin for which Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Mongrelization. Jude 7. Let me read it to you. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities that were around about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strangers, that word strangers in the North Key, and are set forth as an example of suffering and the vengeance of eternal fire. Oh, yeah, but today Jesus does us all. We ain't got no problem with that today. Shut up and join the crowd. Call good evil. Call evil good, and you'll get along. You'd have some friends. You'd take up a big salary, and you could preach like trees are falling. If you just join us, we pay you well to lie to us and tickle our ears. Those who seek to force integration in the schools and the churches are now beginning to admit that their real purpose is to bring about racial intermarriage. They have even deceived well-meaning, ignorant clergymen for helping them. Even without intermarriage, just along allowing those of the mixed, the Norkies, to come into the churches of Yahweh is disobedient, disregard, disrespectful, and has the tone of rebellion, which is worse than witchcraft, because my people have been misled through mistranslation. They conceal the facts from the people by calling good evil and evil good. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. A bastard, talked about it last night, shall not enter the congregation of Yahweh. Even to his tenth generation, so shall he not enter the congregation. Now, if you wonder at this because an illegitimate child is not to blame for the sins for its parents, why should the penalty extend for 10 generations? Why would Yahweh require 10 generations of pure breeding to breed this bastard out of existence before they could return in a pure bloodline. It would take 10 generations. That's a true blood now. Ain't in a false blood. That's a true blood going wrong. It would take that long. The Hebrew word mistranslated bastard. The word ain't bastard. You know what the word bastard means? Somebody don't know its father. The word that has been replaced and taken out and hidden from you is the word manser. It means a mixture or a half-breed or a mongrel. It has nothing to do whether a child's parents were married, but it refers to the forbidden intermarriage of race. That is why the penalty extends for 10 generations, and it shows you how serious Yahweh treats a sin of mongrelization. So the word is manser, not bastard. So when you hear the word in the King James translated bastard, look it up in the Strong's. It's not bastard. That's somebody that a woman that got pregnant didn't know who the father was. That's what you would describe as a bastard. The word bastard is not in there. It's manser. That's somebody that's having a mixed-colored child or a different bloodline or hue that has got into the womb, and meaning it's a hybrid or a mongrel that David spoke up here in the book of Psalms and said to dash their heads against the stone. This is the same one that the preachers said, separate yourself from these people. Have nothing to do with them. If you admit that your church is not worthy to be called the congregation of Yahweh, then perhaps that doesn't concern you. But if your church is or trying to be the congregation of Yahweh, you should better obey Him and His commandments of the things written, for He said this is an ordinance forever throughout your generation. What's changed? The unfortunate children of such marriages that would be called bastards, and that's how the church world has misinterpreted the word fornication, are not the guilty ones. The sin is not that of the children, but that of their parents. And then they produce the hybrid that Yahweh said will not enter my congregation. So you brought about confusion to the child because it can't be accepted. That is a sin that is not going to be soon forgotten. Notice, remember, I didn't write the Bible. You didn't write the Bible. The people that rejected didn't write it. The people that accepted will be rewarded for accepting it and not changing one word of it. They changed the word bastard or manser to bastard so that you would think it was a bastard child that didn't know its father. Has nothing to do with that. The word is manser, and they wanted it out because they didn't want you to believe that if you had a mixture or a half-breed or a mongrel baby, that Yahweh would kill it. Which He said He would do. Now, should we obey Yahweh? I would think so. Or should we go the way of the world? Should we become Christian to accept the things that we have in order to deny the things which the Bible says, to get peace and to have fellowship? If we lose by rejecting the word, we've not only lost those that hear us, we've lost ourselves because we will not turn to Yahweh. I got to get out of here. My address tonight is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now again, let me give you my address. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I need you people that believe that I preach the truth. Now, if you don't believe I preach it, don't you send me one thing. If you believe I have, I need your help. We struggle to stay on the radio. It's not easy when you preach the truth. support us if you love the truth. If you don't, go with the world, and you'll be judged with it. Yahweh bless you. Call me tonight. Area code 423-338-1972. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and by Brother Paul, our continuous sponsors here on Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We appreciate those that have tied to us, support us, and hold our hands up that I'm able to take time out of my life to devote to study. And for over 50 years, I've been preaching the gospel. Since 1963, I've been in the service of Yahweh. And when I was 48 years age, I came to the knowledge of what we call Christian identity. I believed the truth, and I found out who I was. And since then, it's been a steady growth. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRP 3.185. May Yahweh bless you. You might want to tune us in. That's Brother Bob and our oneyahweh.com. We'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you.